I be lifted up from the earth will draw all things to myself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, when we think of the cross, we are thinking about one of the greatest paradoxes of all time. Because a symbol of defeat has become a symbol of victory. Doesn't that sound like a contradiction? But it's not a true contradiction because it really did happen. The victory of the cross became higher, you might say, than the defeat of the cross. One of Chesterton's great sayings is that you cannot defeat the cross because the cross is defeat. To all external appearances, our Lord was defeated on the cross. But actually, that was his greatest triumph. Of obedience to the Father, redemption of us, and as he said in prophecy, if I be lifted up, I shall draw all things to myself. Until the end of time, and really for all eternity, the cross will be the symbol of our Catholic faith. Even non-Catholics see it as the symbol of belief in Christ. Their belief is incomplete, of course. But they recognize that the cross is spiritual victory. When Constantine was preparing for a battle with his rival in the western part of the Roman Empire in 312 AD, he was favored with a vision the night before the battle. This was in October of 312. And this battle was going to happen at the Milvian Bridge, one of the many bridges that span the Tiber River. And God favored him with this vision where he saw the cross in the sky, and then he saw in Latin the words, in hoc signo vinces, in this sign you will conquer. And so, throughout that night, he gave out instructions to the whole army to paint or somehow put on all of the Roman standards this cross. And as I was thinking about it earlier, think what a nonsensical thing it must have seemed to the Roman soldiers, because crucifixion was the worst form of death. I believe the Persians invented it, and then the Romans made great use of it. What a horrible way to torture somebody to death. And so it probably made as much sense to them as if they had been told, paint the hangman's noose on all of your standards. It didn't make any sense, but they had to obey. And sure enough, the army under Constantine won the battle convincingly. There's probably good reasons why they may not have won. But it's so true that in that sign, they were able to conquer. Now, that was a physical thing, a war, a battle. But we must remember that it is in the cross and through the cross that we win the spiritual victories. Before our Lord died on the cross, a year before, I believe, he said, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross. Let him deny himself. That's the first step, deny himself. Second step, take up his cross. Second step, and third step, follow me. And that would not have made any sense to those hearing him. But a year later, our Lord is literally carrying the cross up the up the hill of Calvary. He's carrying it through the streets of Jerusalem. And then he's nailed to it and dies on it. So what our Lord is telling us, that it is through the cross that we will be able to get to heaven. It's part of being his follower. And what is the cross? The cross carried are all the sufferings that we would not have chosen for ourselves. When we take penances upon ourselves, fasting or other corporal self-denial, we're choosing it. But the cross is the sufferings that God chooses for us that we most often would not have chosen for ourselves. But yet, by the grace of God, they're not going to be too great to bear as long as we count on the grace of God. And the cross gives us that opportunity to unite with our Lord. It purifies us. It stirs us from spiritual lethargy. It gives us an opportunity to atone for our sins and for the sins of others. St. Louis Marie de Montfort wrote a beautiful little meditation book called The Friends of the Cross, and I urge you to read it. And he points out, we're either going to be friends of the cross or enemies of the cross. And the enemies of the cross are those who try to eliminate suffering every possible way from their lives. They don't understand the value that comes from bearing the cross. And so they try to get rid of it. But the irony here is that, as St. Louis also says in that book, how can you escape scratches on a thorn-covered earth? It's a veil of tears. We call it that. So rather than try to fight it and eliminate it every way we can, we should bear it. And the highest degree of bearing the cross is even cheerfully bearing it. And St. Louis was so understanding of the value of the cross that one of his sayings was, "It is such a cross not to have a cross." Now, granted, that's not something that comes easily to us, does it? But for a saint, it came easily. That suffering was easy, but he saw the tremendous value of it, and so he said, yes, God is blessing me here. One of the great examples of suffering that he had to go through was when, as a result of one of his fervently preached retreats or missions, the townspeople built a Calvary. It was a mound, a hill of earth that they had built up, and they planted, 150 trees around it to like a rosary path. And of course, there would have been more than 150 because of the Our Fathers and Hail Marys, and very inspiring, very beautiful. Everybody was so enthusiastic about it. And then at the top of it was the cross, the good thief, the bad thief. And by the way, St. Louis says that so often. Don't be like the bad thief who was cursing his cross. Be like the good thief who was accepting it and united his sufferings with that of our Lord. But the night before it was to be solemnly dedicated and blessed, the message came from the bishop of the diocese, who unfortunately was infected or tinged with Jansenism and was listening to the enemies of St. Louis. And the order from the bishop was, there will be no blessing of this Calvary tomorrow. And so all night long, St. Louis walked with a companion to the bishop to plead with him, and the bishop was unmoved. It will not take place. As a matter of fact, the bishop ordered it to be torn down. And what did St. Louis do? What was his reaction to all this? It's a cross to bear. He literally was portraying what he had preached. We will accept this. We will bear this tremendous disappointment. And it was rebuilt later on, probably even more glorious than before, but what a lesson in carrying the cross that was. Today's feast is a remembrance of a historical event that happened, I believe, in the 600s, after the Persians had invaded Jerusalem, and which was part of the Eastern Empire, and taken away, among other things, the relic of the cross. The Eastern Emperor Heraclius invaded Persia, and he got back the relics and other things. He was able to win that battle with them. And so he's bringing the relic of the cross to be placed in the sepulcher, or the Church of the Holy Sepulcher, which is, I've had the privilege of being there. It's not only encloses Calvary, but also the tomb of our Lord where he rose from the dead. It's just an amazing structure, so inspiring. But when they brought the cross to the gates of Jerusalem, that's where Emperor Heraclius says, I'm going to carry it in myself. You know, it'll be a great honor for me. And so, you know, with his kingly attire, and he puts the cross on his shoulders, or at least the large relic, I forget which, if it was the entire, probably not the entire cross, it was because it had already been cut into pieces over the centuries already to be distributed among the faithful. That's how we even have a couple of splinters of the cross. But he was going to carry it in, and as he gets to the open gate of Jerusalem, and of course there's a most immense crowd and retinue surrounding him, every time he tries to go through the gate, he's stopped by an invisible force. He can't go in. There's nothing in front of him. He keeps trying. He's stopped every single time. And so the Bishop of Jerusalem was consulted. What is the problem? Why can't the king carry the relic into its place of honor? This is all about honoring the cross. But the bishop said, Your Majesty, you don't look like Jesus when he was carrying his cross. And so the king understood the message. He removed his royal garments. He went barefoot. Be sure to take off his crown. And when he was in that posture of an attire of humility and penance, then he was able to carry it into its place of honor. So, powerful lesson there. Be more like Christ. And as this relic of the cross has been distributed throughout Christendom, it's not intact in its original cruciform shape, but so many miracles have happened through the cross. Among them, the fact that just like the multiplication of the loaves and fishes, you know, out of 5 loaves and 2 fishes, you know, thousands of people were fed. Well, the wood of the cross has grown literally over the centuries. God can do that. And so today, again, we celebrate the exaltation of the cross. And I remind you again, in hoc signo vinces, in this sign, you will conquer too. Try to be a friend of the cross, carry it well, and you will win the victory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.